Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News. For Monday, February 2nd, I'm Faith Miller. Workers for a Shell oil refinery are on strike in Carson to protest what they say are unfair labor practices. The United Steelworkers Union says almost 4,000 workers went on strike across the country. About 15 workers at the Tesoro Carson refinery joined in the strike today. David Campbell is secretary treasurer for the local union chapter. He was on the picket line with striking workers outside the refinery. He says Shell needs to hire more well-trained workers to fill out the workforce.
We're now so short-staffed that we feel it is unsafe for us. It's unsafe for their equipment, not a good decision for their shareholders, and unsafe for the community.
Campbell also says Shell has not given the workers a fair counteroffer during contract negotiations. He says the strikers will hold out as long as necessary. Shell Oil could not be reached for comment. The Santa Monica High School Infant Toddler Center closed today after a baby tested positive for measles. The child is the most recent victim of a measles outbreak that started in mid-December. The Centers for Disease Control says the outbreak has infected 102 people in 14 states. Health officials trace the epidemic's origin to Disneyland in Anaheim. 90% of the confirmed cases are in California. President Obama proposed his budget plan for fiscal 2016, today calling for nearly $4 trillion in spending. However, it may come at a huge cost to multinational businesses. Ben Krause has more.
Obama wants to spend nearly $500 billion over 6 years on infrastructure, things like roads, bridges, and dams.
I know there's some on Capitol Hill would say, well, we'd be willing to increase defense spending, but we're not going to increase investments in infrastructure, for example, or basic research. Well, those two things go hand in hand.
To raise money, Obama wants to eventually tax 19% on U.S. companies' future foreign earnings. Companies like General Electric, Microsoft, and Apple have foreign earnings valued at upwards of $50 billion. Curtis Dubay, a tax expert from the conservative think tank The Heritage Foundation, says Obama's changes stand little chance in Congress.
It's a huge competitive disadvantage, and it reduces investment both abroad and here at home, and reduces job creation.
President Obama urged Congress to cooperate across party lines to ensure spending where the country needs it most.
I want to work with Congress to replace mindless austerity with smart investments.
Republicans will likely oppose the tax on multinational businesses, but the party has agreed with Obama that investment in infrastructure is a priority. Ben Krause, Annenberg Radio News.
A man was beaten, run over, and killed outside a bar near the Memorial Coliseum this morning. The incident occurred at the intersection of 41st and Main Street when the victim reportedly urinated on the car tire of the suspected attacker. The suspect and another person fled the scene in the vehicle. Police have not found the car, a dark-colored SUV, according to witnesses. California's inmate population is on the decline. Rania Niftos has more.
Fewer people are going to prison in California since penalties have been reduced for some crimes. Proposition 47, which went into effect in November of 2014, categorizes drug and property crimes as misdemeanors, not felonies. As a result, reduced punishments include rehabilitation, probation, and shorter lockup times. In the past few months, Los Angeles County's jails saw their population drop 17%. California's county jails have long dealt with overcrowding issues. Rania Niftos, Annenberg Radio News.
Rap mogul Suge Knight's bail was revoked today because of concerns that he is a possible flight risk. He's scheduled to be arraigned tomorrow on charges that he hit two men with his truck, killing one and injuring the other. Knight has been in custody since Friday. Officials say they're also concerned about witness intimidation. Knight was filming a commercial for the documentary Straight Outta Compton when the incident happened. Knight is known for his role in Compton's rap scene of the 1980s and 90s. A Jewish fraternity at UC Davis was spray-painted with swastikas over the weekend. Fraternity leaders and police are calling it a hate crime. According to the Sacramento Bee, the vandalism happened sometime early Saturday morning. Members of the Alpha Epsilon Pi fraternity believe the vandalism is in response to their support for Israel. No suspects have been identified. The Hollywood Walk of Fame added another star for entertainer Dick Gregory. Tara Campbell saw the momentous occasion.
Today we honor Dick Gregory.
The 82-year-old is known for using his celebrity as a comedian to advocate for civil rights. Dr. Faye Williams was an activist with Gregory during the 1960s.
You can't be Dick Gregory's friend and not have a picket sign somewhere in your lifetime with him and also go to jail with him.
Gregory credited Lillian, his wife of 56 years, for his success, and Hugh Hefner for launching his career, as well as those who gave him his first start.
It's black folks that made me when I was trying to be funny. I have no choice but to give back.
The celebration of Gregory's achievements will continue Tuesday night at Ricardo Montalban Theater in Hollywood. Tara Campbell, Annenberg Radio News.
It's getting more expensive to indulge in your favorite Girl Scout cookies. Cassidy Waters has the story.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Girl Scout cookie season. This year, though, not quite as wonderful. Get ready to shell out a little more for Thin Mints than you're used to. In some parts of California, prices are increasing $1 to $5 a box, with Scout leaders blaming the rise on hefty programming costs. For instance, bakeries are now charging 19% more to make the Girl Scout cookies. But even though some cookie eaters are grumbling about paying $1 more, the Los Angeles chapter found most customers don't even know what they paid before the price hike. Cassidy Waters, Annenberg Radio News.
NBC's Super Bowl broke records yesterday as the most-watched TV broadcast in U.S. history. Nielsen Company said almost 115 million viewers watched the game. That's almost half of the households with TVs in America. This year's rating is 3% higher than the previous Super Bowl record, which was in 2013 when the Ravens beat the 49ers. Boston, New Orleans, and Phoenix had the most viewers. Super Bowl Sunday is in the books, as are another year of its famed commercials. USC students seem to all have a common reaction. Alex Duplessis reports.
I don't know, they were all crazy.
They are serious, and I kind of like touched on a sensitive issue.
They made me feel more than they made me laugh.
This year, many advertisers seem to take a different approach from the happy and lighthearted ads we've come to expect. One ad in particular by Nationwide Insurance, a company famous for their catchy jingle and funny commercials, shocked people, like USC senior Samantha Kaplan.
I was kind of expecting a funny punchline, but then the punchline was actually very serious, so it was a little bit surprising to see that.
The 45-second commercial depicted a young boy who talked about all the things he'd never grow up to do because he died in a preventable accident. Then Nationwide closed the commercial with a public service announcement, telling audiences that preventable accidents are the leading cause of childhood deaths. While the ad resonated with viewers, it left others at a lack of words.
It was very extreme. I wasn't expecting that much.
It makes sense for an insurance commercial, but holy crap.
Alex Duplessis, Annenberg Radio News.
And now for Root Source, a segment about the origins of words you've always wondered about.
I think it's an unusual word, ulk.
It probably came from someone that was really angry and just made a random burst of sounds, and that was what applied.
Definitely not from China.
The 15th century brought us the invention of the printing press and the parachute, contraptions that were tedious, took time to master, and led to the invention of the word irk.
I actually don't know what that means.
The simple three-letter word means to make weary, irritated, or bored. Ever felt irked by homework and classes? Well, it's no surprise it comes from the Old Norse word irkja, meaning to work. The word may have come up in your high school English class while reading To Kill a Mockingbird, but you probably didn't hear it much after that.
I don't think I've ever used it.
I do not use that word every day, no.
During the 20th century, people started opting for words like annoyed or bothered to express their feelings. It's an SAT vocab word, and the very fact that people aren't using this word more frequently is a little irking.
The traditional African-American barbershop is known as a place of camaraderie, conversation, and culture. With many of these shops closing, two black barbershops in South Los Angeles are working to keep that culture alive. Sarah Zahedi reports.
Barbers at Magnificent Brothers Number One Barbershop are busy with customers.
Well, with this haircut, I cut it down a little bit, so I use the clippers to cut it down a little bit to save time. To refine the haircut, I go with the scissors.
That was Sammy Ross. He's been cutting hair for 45 years at the shop.
They ain't really hip, because usually
all they know is a clip is a zip, zip, zip. It takes a pro to do what he's doing now.
Marvin Smith has been going to Ross to get his hair cut for the last 10 years.
He knows how I want it cut, so I just come and sit down.
Magnificent Brothers opened in 1963 on Crenshaw Boulevard. Through the years, Ross says it's more than his skills with the scissors that keeps his customers coming back.
For me, it's no problem. I'm a good barber. I call myself as being a good barber and a good friend and a good counselor. We have to listen to a lot of stories, you know.
Since Magnificent Brothers opened, the shop has been known for cutting natural hairstyles for the African-American community. But owner Chris Collins remembers the days when the shop was much busier. Collins started helping at the shop when he was just 11 years old in 1968.
See, at one time, this place here was standing room only, by appointment only. That's how crowded it was, because there were nowhere to get your natural cut except for at Magnificent Brothers.
But today, traditional barber shops like Magnificent Brothers are vanishing. The latest U.S. Census report found that there are only about 3,700 barbershops, compared to over 80,000 beauty salons in the country. Most of these shops compete with modern unisex salons and are open in older commercial districts that are redeveloping. Leonard Mitchell has observed the trend of barbershop closings as neighborhoods evolve in Los Angeles. Mitchell is executive director at the Center for Economic Development at the University of Southern California.
Costs are going up for barbershops generally. Gentrification is a factor in raising costs.
And often, barbershop owners can't afford the rising costs. Mitchell says those that stay open still have to keep up with the competition.
They stay open because they are offering or tend to offer the right thing that customers want. That is, kinds of skills the barbers have, environment.
The environment at Magnificent Brothers is what Chris Cullen says is central to keeping his shop alive.
They all congregate about what's going on in their lives with their barbers, or what's going on in the world from their opinion and their point of view. People come in and say, yeah, did you hear what her? Listen to Bill Cosby, that is terrible. Do y'all really believe that? And some people say, oh, I don't know. I gotta see.
The conversation is what Magnificent Brothers customers say they love too.
It's comfortable, you know, homey.
It's a place for people to learn, to vent. You feel safe when you're in a barbershop because it's something that you know.
As more people go to modern unisex salons instead of barbershops to cut their hair, Cullen sees a loss of tradition.
It's not that comfortable feeling that goes natural with the barbershop world.
But at South LA's M Barbering Shop, owner Maurice Manley is working to keep that feeling alive in his four-year-old shop.
There's always conversation, even if the conversation is between the barber and the client.
My question is,
that's what makes up kind of the culture, the ideal culture of a barbershop. The culture of barbering is not lost. The reason why they're closing is because of their business practices.
Customers agree. Several, like Trell Huffman, say they prefer the updated style of Manley's shop.
He's fast, he's courteous. I think it's better. It's more professional. Everyone has to evolve, and they haven't seen that yet.
Still, Chris Cullen says the traditional style of Magnificent Brothers is what makes the shop special.
We're like Heinz ketchup, you know. We got a name. People gonna come here. I don't care how many barbershops is up and down the street. They're gonna come to Magnificent Brothers.
As the barbershop industry evolves and neighborhoods continue to change in Los Angeles, barbers both old and new are striving to carry on the culture of the traditional barbershop for years to come. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
Imagine for a second what your life would be like if you didn't have more than $1 million and a university to back you up, and instead made $19,200 each year. That's from an open letter to USC President Max Nikias. You can read the entire letter on Neon Tommy, Annenberg's online news source, at neontommy.com. That's it for this Monday. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Faith Miller.